Well, amen. That was off to a bad start, wasn't it? Oh, well. I have in my hand, I promised some of you I was going to bring you a paper. Remember about the cellular tea? I have it right here. So if I promised you one, see me, and I'll get that to you, okay? I was eating a piece of candy. My mouth's like cotton. I have a medication I have to take for keep my heart in rhythm. And sometimes it makes you very, very dry mouth. And that's not good when you're trying to speak and because everything, you can't say your words. So y'all pray for me this morning. I was hoping the candy would help to get everything lubricated here, but it's not working too well. Plus I got Dr. Bradley sitting over here and that makes it even worse, amen? Oh, when you go to teach Bible around here, it's tough when you got all these professors sitting around you and you're like, oh my soul, did I say something stupid? Always, right? So I try not to let it bother me too much. Anyhow, open your Bibles to the book of Romans. I guess y'all seen in the news. Looks like things are fixing to heat up over in the Middle East, amen? Thank God for such a president, right? That's all I'm going to say about that. I get off on that. We won't get anything done in the Bible, so. Amen. And that's kind of like last week with that COVID thing, right? So anyhow, open your Bibles to Romans. I believe we was in chapter 5 last week. We didn't finish that. And I kind of want to review it a little bit because I skipped a lot of it. Mitch went through it kind of quickly. And this is very, very important that we understand this because it sets the stage for our doctrinal issues. I mean, today, when it comes to salvation, there's so many different beliefs. You know, some people believe that they can be good to go to heaven. And some people believe that they can buy their way to heaven and, you know, write another check and put it in an offering plate. And there's just a lot of things that people are messed up on. And one of the biggest things, if you go soul winning and you're knocking on doors and you're trying to, you know, talk to people about accepting Christ, one of the biggest things that you'll hear is that, well, I'm not ready yet. I've got some issues that I have to take care of. And there's a lot of people with that frame of mind. They think that there's something that they can do to get themselves in a better situation to go to heaven. Well, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to get yourself in a better situation. You're a sinner, period. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter how bad the sin or how small the sin, you're still a sinner. So there's nothing you can do without Christ to fix that. But that's the mindset of the people. And this right here helps to clear up a lot of that doctrinal issue. If they understand why we're sinners, where that sin came from, and how to cure it. You know what I'm saying? So that helps straighten out the doctrinal issues. The problem is we don't read our Bibles. We don't study our Bibles. And today, I imagine today is worse than it's been. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves to be such a great nation. And the reason that we have the nation we have is because of our Bible, because of our God. You know, that's the freedoms that we have today is because we've been a godly people. You know, we've served God and followed God and obeyed his laws and done the things in which he's asked us to do. And that's what made us to be the youngest nation in the world. A little over 200 years old and to be the greatest country on earth. And as bad as it is today, we're still the greatest nation on earth. And it's all because of our fellowship with God. So we learn here how we broke fellowship and how we got it back. So that's important that we understand this. So go back. I think we started in verse 8 last week, and I think we stopped off around 14 or 15, somewhere along in there. We got stopped. So I want to review that, and then we'll move on from there. So verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, as I said last week, we see that's present tense. In other words, blood is just as good today as it was the day he was crucified. It's good for you, it's good for me, and it's good for the generations to come. The blood is still good. His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners. See, Christ died for us when we was at our worst. He didn't come here to die for the godly. He came here and he died for the ungodly. He died for those who needed a Savior. He died for those that were living in sin. That's you and me. We're all living in sin, amen? And that's the reason Christ came. Verse 9, it says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. In other words, we've got a full pardon. You know, you take somebody that's been in prison, they say they had a 30-year sentence, and President Trump, before he stepped down, pardoned that person. That 30 years is paid for. It's done. It's a done deal. That person is freed. That's what Jesus did for you and I. Our sin has bought us hell, a place in hell. That's what it's done. And Jesus paid that sin debt and gave us a pardon. So because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have to answer for my sin. And it's important that we understand that. When I stand before God, and even some Christians feel like if they do something, they got to do something to make up for it. It's like this. When God looks at me, he looks at me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as nasty as I am in this sin-cursed body, God sees me as perfect, absolutely spotless. It's just the same on Calvary as if he took his white robe of righteousness and took my black, filthy, sin-cursed robe off and put his robe of righteousness on me. And that's how I stand in the presence of God. God sees me through my Savior. And it's important that we understand that. No matter what I do, no matter what I do. And later on when we move through the chapter, we'll see about that sin. But that's why you hear people say, well, Baptists think they have a license to steal. We do. We really do. That sin's paid for. But according to God, what's he say? God forbid. We don't live in our sin. We don't continue therein. You know? And why do I try to live a righteous life? Not to get saved. Because I am saved. He saved me while I was in my sin. But now, because I'm saved, I want to serve my God. I want to live the best life that I can live for my God. And unfortunately, folks, today, look at the church today. When I say church, you know, I'm speaking to the best of the best right here. I understand that. But even us, even we need to be reminded where we came from sometimes. We need to be reminded of the pit that God pulled us out of. And when you turn your television on and you see these folks in the White House, they need prayer. Amen. I think I mentioned it last week. They don't see things the way we see things. And it's because of the sin curse. They're still blinded. They don't understand. They don't have the God living inside of them. They don't have the Spirit living inside. They don't see the truth. And they honestly believe that what they're doing is right, as wrong as it may be. Unfortunately, you and I are going to have to pay the price for that here on this planet. And then I ask myself, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? We came here as a godly nation. When we came here as pilgrims, they came here because of religious freedoms. But what's happened to us? We're slowly losing that. We're slowly moving further and further and further to the left. Even in the church house, we're slowly drifting to the left. See, I remember when I was growing up as a little boy, I can remember in our neighborhood, all the women wore dresses. And ladies, I ain't picking on you. I'm just saying, all the women wore dresses, no matter where you went. And if you went uptown, it really didn't matter what night it was. Most men wore suits. Even uptown, you turn your old movies on television, they're all wearing suits and hats. That's just the way people presented themselves at that time. And if you went to church, people dressed in their best. Not because, and this is what you'll hear from a lot of people, well, down there, they're just trying to show off. You know, one person's trying to best dress better than the other person. Everybody wants to look better. See, that's a sin-cursed heart speaking. Amen. That's all that is. See, that's somebody who doesn't want to do right for God. So they're kicking you for trying to do the right thing. When we come to God's house, we come in our best for why? We're serving our God. This is his house. And we forget sometimes that this is his tabernacle. You know, we come here to serve our God. And we should be at our best. And if our best is a pair of raggedy old blue jeans and worn out shoes, that's what we wear. You know, we're not being the Christian police. We're not doing that. But we should all come in our best to serve our God the best way we know how. And we should all bring our Bibles. It's important that you bring a Bible. You know, and believe this or not, sometimes lost people come to church. And that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. The church is, you know, when we're here this morning, we're here for the saved. You know that. We're here to gather, you know, not to forsake the assembly of thyself together. That's what we're here for. But if lost people want to come in, we welcome them. Praise God if they come in and hear the gospel. And when they get here, they see you in your best. It's nice to see you toting the Bible, because it shows them that you believe what you say you're here for. So those things are important to us. Verse 10, is that where we stopped? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And reconciled means we're back in fellowship. Now, you know, back in the garden, when Adam sinned against God, we lost fellowship with God. Adam was in good fellowship with God. He walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. He was in fellowship. And then when he sinned against God, he got kicked out of the garden, didn't he? We lost that fellowship with God. Here, Jesus is buying it back for us. He's buying our fellowship with God, putting us back on good terms. And now by the death of his Son, Jesus, that's what the fuss is about. Folks, you can pray in Allah's name, nobody will say a word. You can pray in Buddha's name, nobody cares. You can pray in any little g God that you want to. You can talk about them. You can go to school and have your children to break out a prayer mat in the middle of the class, and it wouldn't be nothing said. Isn't that a shame? But when you say something about Jesus, then that's when it becomes a problem. And the reason for that is because we believe that there's one God. Amen. We believe that there's one Savior. And we believe that man is Jesus. Amen. Folks, Buddha, Allah, and all these folks, they're still dead. None of them died and resurrected. They're still dead. My God's alive. My Jesus, yeah, he went to hell. He paid for my sin. He defeated death and hell. And he's alive. He resurrected. That's what the fuss is about. That's what people don't want to hear about. The wicked world don't want to hear that. And so when you say something about Jesus, they get upset. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Back in fellowship again. And we rejoice in God. Think about it. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, us being back in fellowship, we can now rejoice with God. We can praise him for his mercies and his goodness, his grace towards us. And my soul, if it weren't for God's grace, we'd be lost, wouldn't we? We'd be on our way to hell. So we can joy in that. We can joy in the fact that we know we have a risen Savior. Amen? Y'all getting quiet in here. You're going to sleep on me. And y'all better wake up. This is hard enough for y'all out there snoring. Come on now. We're on the radio, folks. Amen. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man, that one man being Adam. Now, this is the part that's so important. I'm going to park here for a minute. This is the part that we need to understand. This is where we get our doctrine all messed up. This is by one man sin entered into the world. So in other words, because Adam sinned against God, his sin fell upon me. It fell upon all men. Amen. So when we read through it, as the generations grow here, they're all sinners according to Scripture because of one man, Adam. And just today, you and I are sinners because of Adam, because of Adam's transgression, because he sinned against God. That sin fell on me. It's not, so people say, well, what? I'm good. Some people think they hadn't broke the law. They hadn't done anything wrong. They're good folks. So they think they're going to heaven. See, they're not understanding that the sin curse fell upon them. It fell on me. When Adam sinned, that curse fell on me, just like it did Adam. So it's not because I'd done anything. When I was born as a child, and I was being raised as a child, as soon as I began to walk and talk, I promise you, I probably lied to my mama. You know, you don't have to teach a child to lie. It's the sin nature. It's the sin curse. It's automatic. We have to teach them to be good. because the sin nature is to sin. And that's what we're learning right here. We're learning that sin fell upon us because of Adam. It was because of his sin. The law had not been given yet. The law hadn't been given to Moses yet. There was no law. Listen to what it says. One man entered into, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now the law wasn't given, but they were still sinning. It was still sin in the world. Listen to what it says in 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, those people, they had sinned against God, but not like Adam did. Adam ate of the fruit that God told him not to. The other people at this time, as the generations begin to grow, they're still sinning, but not like Adam did. They didn't do what God told them not to do. God didn't tell them not to eat the apple, and they went and ate it. Amen? But they were still sin in the world. They still had sin in their lives because of the sin curse. Now when there is no law, sin is not imputed when there is no law. So in other words, it wasn't imputed to them because there was no law. But listen to what happened to them. In verse 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now that sin wasn't imputed because there was no law, but they died anyhow. Why did they die? Because Adam sinned against God. They died because that sin curse fell on them just the same as it did Adam. And it's important that we understand that. It's important that we get wrapped around that. We need to understand that if I got up every morning of my life and I sat and read God's word, and I got up and I went soul winning and I taught the Bible, and that's all I did every day, I'm still a sinner. I'm still on my way to hell without Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Have you ever asked yourself what that meant? Why was Adam the figure of him that was to come? See, Adam walked this world how? Perfect. Adam was created perfect. Adam wasn't created in sin. You and I were born in sin. Adam wasn't. Adam fell. That's why we refer to him as the first Adam, because God created him perfect. And if we go back over to Genesis, I believe we went back over last week. Go ahead and go back to Genesis. Chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I don't have it marked, so there it is. Genesis chapter 5. Listen to what it says in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. They were created how? In the likeness of God made he him. Adam was created in the likeness of God. He was created perfect. And he was perfect until he sinned against God. Now look down there at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Now what was Adam at this point? He was a sinner. He had broken fellowship with God. He is a sinner. Now, we were born how? In the likeness of Adam. You hear people say, well, yeah, but God says he created all man. He did. We're created by God, and we're in the likeness of God through Adam. But we're created in the likeness of Adam, a sinner. So now when we're born and that little 3-year-old child or 2-year-old child starts to walk and lie, now you know why. He's just like his granddaddy. He's a liar. He's a sinner. So that's the sin curse. And it's important that we understand that. There's so many people in the world that don't understand that they're part of that sin curse. And they get so confused. You know, because this is the way they see things. They see things, but I'm not a wicked person. Why should I go to hell? I'm not a wicked person. You don't have to be a wicked person to go to hell. You just got to be born. And you're born of the sin curse. And because of that, you're going to hell. That's sad, but that's just the way it is. We inherited that sin curse. But God gave us an out. God loves us. That's why you know, when you read these verses, you think about John 3:16, don't you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not die, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God give us a way out. He loved us that much. Now listen to what it says in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, who? Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. This is why it's so important that we understand that we're part of the sin curse. By one man, Adam, sin came into the world. And by one man, Jesus, that sin was paid for. And how does it say? Free gift. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough to get it. It is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift from God, Jesus, to us. It's free. And there's so many people, every time you go soul winning, and you hear somebody say, I got some things I got to get right. You know, it's a free gift. And this is what people's doing when they reject Christ. You take, if I was to bring you a present at Christmas time or your birthday, I wrapped you up a nice present and brought it to you and give it to you. And you took that present and never unwrapped it, just looked at it and just threw it over in the garbage can. That's what you do when you reject Jesus Christ. It's the exact same thing. It's a free gift that God has given to you. And when somebody presents, just like they're fixing to go to Daytona, soul winning. When those soul winners are out there and they're presenting that free gift, everybody that rejects it has taken that gift and just thrown it away. That's what they're doing. They don't have understanding. If they understood this, they would know that they're a sinner. And folks, it's important that we understand this, because I know Christians that still get confused. If we understand this, first of all, it's going to make you a better soul winner. Because you know without a doubt that you're saved. I mean, there's so many Christians that wonder, am I really saved? And you know, that's the devil talking to you. That's the devil trying to steal your joy. Because when you're saved, you're saved. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You can't be good enough to get it. You can't be good enough to keep it. You're saved. It's yours. It's a free gift. The Bible teaches me that God moves inside and takes up residence right here in this old body. Spirit moves inside of me and I'm quickened together. I'm here. He's here permanently. You can't run him off. He's here. He's mine. Nobody can take him away. Am I still in a sin-cursed body? Yes. Am I still going to sin? Yes. Do I still get mad when I hit my thumb with a hammer? Yes. And you say, oh, praise Jesus. That's probably not the first thing that goes through my mind. We're all human, and we're all sinners. It's important that we understand that by one man, the Lord Jesus, we received the free gift. And what he's telling us right here, grace abound, what's he saying to us is that as much as sin, I mean, think about it. Adam had one sin. He sinned one thing he did wrong. One sin, and it passed upon all men. Think about that. When next time you're doing something, you say, oh, it ain't that bad. Just one little sin. That's all it took to get you sentenced to hell. One little sin. That's all it took was one. Where we stop? 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justifications. Now, what did he just say? He just said that it took one sin to get you here. One sin got us in the predicament that we're in. But yet, all your sins, many sins, are paid for. See, we commit much more than just one sin, don't we? And thank God for the gift, because they're all paid for. When Jesus died on the cross over 2,000 years ago, he didn't die for one of your sins. He didn't die for Monday. And then on Tuesday, you got to get saved again. That ain't what the Bible teaches us. It says right here, for all of our sins, many, many, many. And there's plenty of them. So we need to understand that. And why is that so important? We should have a boldness about us. You know, sometimes I feel like we forget we're on the winning side. I feel like sometimes we forget that we're saved. No matter how bad your day is. No matter how bad it is. If you found out this morning that you had cancer and you're dying in 6 days, you still got it made. You're on your way to heaven. That's something to rejoice about. You could have cancer, dying, and going to hell. But no, because of a Savior, because God loved us and sent Jesus, we're going to heaven. It's sad that sometimes that the attitude that we as Christians take today, the world looks as it, like they're like, I don't need that. Because we live defeated lives. We shouldn't be living defeated lives. All the things that happen, and bad things happen to everybody. I mean, everybody goes through struggles. I mean, fortunately, I get to visit so many people in so many different situations that I see a lot more than the average person would see. So I can count my blessings greatly. And when bad things come upon me, it's just like you. They're bad, and nobody likes dealing with it. But I still got so much to praise God for. Amen. So the good overrides the evil, and you just move on with life. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more many which received abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many be made righteous. That's that word obedience that we were talking about a little while ago that they're teaching in Sunday school this morning. You understand it was Jesus' obedience to his Father that brought salvation to you and I. You know, we need to think about that. He was obedient to his Father. Who are we supposed to be obedient to? We're supposed to be obedient to the Lord Jesus. We're supposed to be obedient to God. And I see so many family quarrels and stuff. You know, folks, God forgave you in your sin. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He loved you at your very worst. He loved you. Died for you. Paid for your sin. And today, when we look at the world and we look on the sin of homosexuality, it's horrible sin. It's a nasty sin. God died for that person. God died for their sins, same as he did mine. And we're supposed to look at these people and love them. We don't have to love the sin, but we're supposed to love the people. And we're supposed to be praying for them. And we're supposed to be doing everything we can to teach them about Jesus. Folks, I know people that in their own families, a sister hates a brother. Or a brother hates a cousin or an aunt or uncle. Folks, that's not right. God forgave us. How can we say that we love the Lord and we're obedient to him and we hate our brother or our sister? How about our brothers in Christ? Everybody in this room is my brother and sister in the Lord. Amen. Everybody, every single one of you. Everybody in this room that's born again. And we're supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to be knocking and backbiting If anybody's got a problem, every one of us should be willing to help that person rather than trying to knock them down. And by the way, when we're trying to knock somebody down, you know what we're really trying to do? Lift ourselves up. That's the truth. We're trying to put them down to try to make us look better. And we're all guilty of that in one way or the other. We're not supposed to be doing that. We need to think about this and think about the number one law, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy might. And we would just obey the number one commandment. All these other things would take care of themselves. But it's so important that we understand these things. And next week we'll take up, we got back to just about the same place. But anyhow, I feel like I covered a little bit better this week. I wanted you to be sure of what was going on, and especially out there in radio land, the important issues, amen? Well, we're out of time, so we'll get to Sunday school count.